The following is a selection from the book, Go Forward, by James Russell Miller. There is an incident in the history of the wandering of the Israelites, which is suggestive. It was near the close of the 40 years in the wilderness. The people had been for some time in the region of Mount Seir, and seemed to have been going round and round the mountain. The meaning is not very clear, but the record says they had compassed Mount Seir many days. They were constantly in motion, and yet were making no progress. We're not getting any nearer the promised land. They would journey laboriously for many days through the wilderness, enduring hardship, suffering pain and weariness, and at last would come to the very place from which they'd started. It was a fruitless kind of journeying. And then they were called to cease their going round the mountain and to enter on a course that would lead them somewhere. Jehovah spake unto me, saying, Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. There's a tendency among people to do something like this in their everyday life. We're inclined to settle down in our present condition and stay there, when we ought to be moving on to something beyond, something better, larger and nobler. We let ourselves form the habit of moving round and round in a circle when we ought to break away from the circular course and start forward. St. Paul teaches us the same lesson in a remarkable passage in one of his epistles. He gives us a glimpse of the ideal life, the perfect life, in Christ. He says frankly that he himself has not yet attained this sublime height, hasn't reached the best. Not that I've already obtained or am already made perfect, but this unattained life he doesn't regard as unattainable. He will come up to it some time. Thus, St. Paul, this man of quenchless ardor, pressed his way toward the highest and best. He was in prison now, but prison walls were no barrier to his progress. He tells us, too, the method of his life. The two words which contain the secret of his noble career were forgetting and reaching. There were certain things that he forgot. Look at this a moment, for the word contains for us a secret which we must learn if we would make progress northward. Forgetting the things which are behind. We never can get on to higher things if we insist on clinging to our past and carrying it with us. We can make progress only by forgetting. We can go forward only by leaving behind what is past. For instance, we must forget our mistakes. And there are many of them, too. We think of them in our serious moods at the close of a year, when we're forced to review our past, or when some deep personal experience sets our life before us in retrospection. We sigh, oh, if I hadn't made that foolish decision, how much better my life would have been. Some people keep compassing regretfully the mountains of their 1 year's mistakes through all the following year. A year of fretting sets you no farther forward. The best use you can possibly make of last year's blunders is to forget them, and then to get wisdom from the experience for this year. One day, Ruskin was with a friend who, in great distress, showed him a fine handkerchief on which someone had carelessly let fall a drop of ink. The woman was vexed beyond measure at the hopeless ruining of her handkerchief. Ruskin said nothing and took the handkerchief away with him. In a few days he brought it back, but ruined no longer. Using the blot as the base of a drawing, he had made an exquisite bit of India ink work on the handkerchief, thus giving it a beauty and a value far beyond what it possessed before it had been blotted. There's a strange power in the divine goodness which can take our mistakes and follies and out of them bring beauty, blessing, and good. Forget your blunders. Put them into the hands of Christ. Leave them with Him to deal with as He sees fit, and He will show them to you afterwards as marks of loveliness, no longer as blunders, but as the very elements of perfection. Forget your mistakes and turn northward. We should also forget our hurts There are hurts in every life. Somebody did you harm last year. Somebody was unkind to you and left a sting in your memory. Somebody said something untrue about you, misrepresented you. You say you can't forget these hurts, these injuries, these wrongs, but you would do better. Don't cherish them. Only worse harm to you will come from keeping them in your memory and thinking about them. Don't let them rankle in your heart. The Master forgot the wrongs and injuries done to him, and you haven't suffered the 1,000th part of the things he suffered in this way. He loved on as if no wrong had been done to him. Thus, we should forget the hurts done to us. A tiny grain of sand and a pearl oyster makes a wound, but instead of running to a festering sore, the wound becomes a pearl. So, a wrong, patiently endured, mastered by love, adds new beauty to the life. We should also forget our attainments, the things we've achieved, our successes. Nothing hampers and hinders a man more than thinking over the good or great things he's done in the past. There are men who once did a good thing and have done little since but tell people about it. They've been compassing their Mount Seir many days. If you did anything good, worthy, or great in the past, forget it. It belongs to the last year and adorned it, but it won't be an honor for this year. Each year must have its own adornments. We're to go on to perfection, making every year better than the one before. We should also forget the sins of the past. Somehow, many people think that their sins are the very things they should never forget. They feel that they must remember them so that they will be kept humble. But remembering our sins, weaving their memories into a garment of sackcloth and wearing it continually, is the very thing we ought not to do. Do we not believe in the forgiveness of our sins when we've repented of them? God tells us that our sins and our iniquities He will remember no more forever. We should forget them too, accepting the divine mercy. And since they are so fully forgiven by our Father, our joy should be full. One of the Psalms tells us of being brought up out of a horrible pit, and our feet set upon a rock. And then comes the song beginning, He hath put a new song in my mouth, rejoicing instead of hopeless grief over sin. Brood not a moment over your old sins. Compass the mountain no longer, but turn northward. If it's been unworthy, it should be abandoned for something worthy. If it's been good, it should inspire us to things better. Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. St. Paul also teaches this in the other word which he uses in his plan of progressive life. First, forget everything that's past, and then stretch forward to the things that are before. What are these things that are before to which we ought to stretch? The answer may be given in a word. Life. Jesus told his disciples he had come that they might have life. We have no life until we receive it from Christ. Christ is the fountain from which all life flows. His own heart broke on the cross that we might receive life. His life. Nothing will meet our need, but life. There's a story of a sculptor who had chiseled in marble a statue of St. George and set it before a church in Florence. Michelangelo was asked to see it. He stood before the marble and was amazed at the success of the young artist. Every feature was perfect. The brow was massive. Intelligence beamed from his eyes. One foot was in the act of moving as if to step forward. Gazing at the splendid marble figure, Angelo said, "Now, march!" No higher compliment could the great artist have paid to St. George in marble. Yet there was no response. The statue was perfect in all the form of life, but there was no life in it. It couldn't march. It's possible for us to have all the semblance of life in our religious profession, in our devotion to the principles of right and truth, and yet not have life in us, Life is the great final blessing we should seek. Not life merely, not just a little of it, but fullness of life. Jesus said he had come that we might have life, and might have it abundantly. The turning northward was that the people might exchange the wilderness for Canaan. The wilderness meant emptiness, barrenness, sin's bitter harvest. Canaan was a parable of heaven. What does turning northward mean for us today? It means a larger Christian life. We rejoice in all that God has done for us in the past, and we're grateful for the blessings we've received, but we're only on the edge of the spiritual possibilities that are within our reach. We're in danger of sitting down in a sort of quiet content, as if there are no farther heights to be reached. Ye have been going round this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Northward is toward new and greater things, larger spiritual good, more abundant life. It means something intensely practical and real. It's a call to better life. We must be better men, better women, better Christians. We must be holier. The abundant life must be pure. It must begin within. Blessed are the pure in heart. A little story tells of a man who was washing a large plate glass window in a show window. There was one soiled spot on the glass which defied all his efforts to cleanse it. After a long and hard rubbing at it with soap and water, the spot still remained. And then the man discovered that the spot was on the inside of the glass. There are many people who are trying to cleanse their lives from stains by washing the outside. They cut off evil habits so that their conduct and character shall appear white. Still, they find spots and flaws which they can't remove. The trouble is within. Their hearts are not clean, and God desires truth in the inward parts. The only way to be made perfect is to have the very springs of the life cleansed. I long to be clean all through. That's the kind of men and women we should pray to become. St. Paul tells us that though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man should be renewed day by day. The true life within us should become diviner continually in its beauty, purer, stronger, sweeter, even when the physical life is wasting. The hard things are not meant to mar our life. They're meant to make it all the braver, the worthier, the nobler. Adversities and misfortunes are meant to sweeten our spirits, not to make them sour and bitter. Every year should find us living on a higher plane than the year before. Old age should always be the best of life, not marked by emptiness and decay, but by richer fruitfulness and more gracious beauty. St. Paul was growing old when he spoke of forgetting things behind and reaching forth to things before. His best was yet to be attained. So it should always be with Christian old age. We must ever be turning northward, toward fuller life and holier beauty. This can be the story of our experience only if our life is hid with Christ in God. Torn away from Christ, no life can keep its zest or its radiance. Lincoln said, "I am not bound to win, but I am bound to be true. I am not bound to succeed, but I am bound to live up to the light I have." So we are to get light from heaven for all our life on earth, not only for our Christian service, but for our business affairs, our amusements, all our tasks and duties, our plans and pleasures. The smallest things in our lives should get their inspiration from heaven. Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Break away from the routine. Don't keep on doing just what you've been doing heretofore. Don't be content to go over the same old rounds. Turn northward. Start in new lines and with your face toward God. Do larger things than you've done heretofore. Pray more fervently. Love better. more sweetly, more helpfully. Live where heaven will break into your soul. Let Christ have all your life. God's not a hard master. He knows how frail we are. He remembers that we're dust. Therefore, He's patient with us. He judges us graciously. If we try to do our best, though we seem to fail, marring our work, He understands and praises what we've done. With such a master, we should never lose heart, never grow discouraged, never let gloom or bitterness into our heart, but should always keep brave, hopeful, sweet, forgetting the past and stretching forward, knowing that no life that is true to its best can ever fail. Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward.